Bible says, get grafted into the vine. And no way of saying it is we're adopted as sons. We become sons of God.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Well, by the way, Lepin isn't here today. She's, I think she has some food poisoning, you know. And so she's kind of out of it, you know. But she's getting better, but slowly.
Where did you eat, so we won't go there?
well, we're not sure that it's either food poisoning. It wasn't going out to eat that did it. You think some yogurt might have gotten, that she eats a lot, might have gone bad. She didn't realize it's gone bad. She could have yogurt go bad, right? It's always bad when you get it, you know? but that's just, we're supposing, you know. I think it's a tactic of the devil, but, you know. If you were looking for a physical reason, that might be it. But it has the symptoms of bad food poisoning, you know.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Dear Lord, we just thank you right now.
Yes.
For Muffin, we thank you because we know that you are a great God and healer.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you
for touching her right now,
yes,
as we are all in agreement, Lord.
Jesus,
thank
for
you,
her
Lord
stomach
Jesus
to settle,
yes,
and quick recovery. And we all said,
amen.
Jesus,
amen.
Amen.
Jesus,
amen.
Glory.
Amen. May I add that,
yes,
any viruses, harmful bacteria, germs are swallowed up in the life that is Christ.
Yeah.
And
yep,
made
yep
no void and of no effect.
That's right.
And that the symptoms have dissipated.
Amen.
Because they are swallowed up in the life of the blood of Christ, which speaks our healing from the altar at the foot of God's throne in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. A little melody from Hillsong Worship. It's this little Christmas song. So
yeah,
here we go. Hallelujah. Sent us his best to be born in a manger, the King in the hay, and creation will worship his name. For the joy of the world he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of the Son. Now the darkness of ages are done. For the Savior of heaven has come. When I think upon Jesus, the King of all days, with an offering of praise, like the wise men and shepherds, I follow your light, like the angels I live joy and I. For the joy of the world I want, peace to us all, with the gift of the Lord. Now the darkness of ages are done.
had us on his mind. Let us sing of his glory, rejoice in his name. Oh, Emmanuel with us always, and forever his kingdom will reign. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor and glory. And I thank you, Lord, that we celebrate your birth. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Forever.
Forever.
Him coming here is equivalent to us having the biggest house in Mountain Brook and leaving that to go to the worst slums of India, which are some of the worst in the world. It had to be, I mean, you think about it, to leave the comfort of heaven to come to men that God said their every thought was evil.
Wow. Just real quickly before you start, we'll not be here. I'll not be here next Sunday. So 40th anniversary, we plan to be in the mountains, up in the Smoky Mountains.
Right.
Lord willing, we'll be there. All right.
Say hello to Dolly for me.
Yeah, we'll be closer there, won't we? Yeah. Okay, so we're taking a break from what we were doing to look at some of the prophecies of Jesus coming, right? Some of the prophecies of the Messiah. And so we looked at a prophecy in Genesis 1, right? Genesis 3, last week. And then I gave you a teaser. I gave you a hint of what we're going to look at today. Mm-hmm. And Moses was talking about the Lord's going to raise up a prophet. Well, let me just read that real quick for you. This is in Deuteronomy 18:15 through 19. And Moses is talking to the Israelites. This is Deuteronomy's the second law, okay? He's kind of summing up everything that went on over the last 40 years before he goes away. And so he says, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me for you from among your relatives." Okay? This is a prophecy. Moses was a prophet. He says, this is going to happen. The Lord will raise up a prophet like me for you from among you. Really, from among you. You must listen to him. Those are important words. Those are important words. For this is what you asked from the Lord your God at Horeb when you were assembled together. Don't let us hear the voice of God, or the voice of the Lord our God again, or even see this great fire. Otherwise, we will die. They're afraid. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to talk to God directly. Okay? Then the Lord told me, what they have suggested is good. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their relatives, and I will place my words in his mouth so that he may expound everything that I have communicated to them, or commanded to them. But if someone will not listen to those words that the prophet speaks in my name, I will hold him accountable. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think when that is quoted in the New Testament, it says, I will utterly destroy him. He'll be utterly destroyed. Look in Acts, if he says that in Acts, I think. So he's talking about this, and he says, look, this is important. This is important. You are not the final word, Moses. Mm-hmm. What you have said, what I've given you, is not the final word. There's going to come another prophet like you, all right? And he's going to give a further word. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to go from glory to
glory,
uh-huh. Right? That's what we want to do, right? But in order to go from this step, as Brother Thurston said, to the next step up,
we got to leave this step. Right? We got to stop basking in this glory to go to embrace this new glory. Right? They had the glory of the law, which was glory. All right? It was good. But they had to leave that and go to another glory. So what kind of glory is this new glory? Well, it's prophesied in Psalms. And it says here in Psalms 40, verses 6 through 8. If you want to turn to Psalm 40, 6 through 8. And if somebody who has one of these Bibles that can tell you who wrote the psalm at the beginning, sometimes it tells at the beginning who wrote the psalm. If you get there. Psalm 40 and verses 6 through 8. But look at the beginning of the psalm and see if it tells you.
David
wrote it. Okay. I thought it was David, but I couldn't remember. So, Brother David, would you read your psalm? No, would you read, verses 6 through 8 for us?
Sacrifices and offerings thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, and in the volume of the book it is written of me. 8:2.
Yeah, read the next one. Yeah.
I will delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart.
Okay, let's look and see how prophetic this is. How prophetic is this of the new covenant? All right, first off he says, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted. He says, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Well, this is written at a time when those were required. The law requires those. So this is obviously not talking about the law, is it? Because at the time that David wrote this, there was a law, and you sacrifice and offering and all this, they were required.
They were.
So he must be talking about something. Head scratching time, you know. It's like, oh, ponder over this, you know. What is he talking about? But what does he say? He says, you have given me an open ear. An open ear. Whoa. Remember when Jesus said, these people, their ears are dull of hearing. Their ears are dull of hearing. They need to have their ears opened. Right? He goes on and he says, then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. What's the book that he's talking, as David's talking about? What's the book?
Septuagint.
What?
The Septuagint, the Old Testament.
The Old Testament, yeah. It's the Torah, all right? It's the first five books of Moses, all right? And so he's talking about, you know, in the book, it's written. It's written here. Whoa. Scroll of the book, it is written of me. Of me. Huh. So this was prophesied. He's talking about Deuteronomy, that passage we just read. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what he's talking about. It's written of me. Okay? And then he goes on, he says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. That's prophetic, isn't it? I delight to do your will. What did Jesus say when he came? He says, I speak what my Father tells me to speak. Mm-hmm. And what does he say about what he does?
I do what he says to do.
I do what I see my Father doing. Mm-hmm. That always puzzled me, Brother David. How could he see what God's doing? Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I look around, and I'm not sure I see what God is doing, you know. And here Jesus, I do what I see my Father doing. That always kind of puzzled me, you know. But this is what Jesus did. He says, I do the works of my Father. You say that, right? I do the works of my Father. Okay? And we talked about that in John, as we were studying through John, right? John 13 through 16. You know, how Jesus did the Father's works.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't do anything of my own accord, but my Father does the works. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't speak on my own accord. It's the Father that does his work through me. So this is what he's talking about. Here is prophecy of the Messiah. And then he goes on and it says, your law is within my heart. Ooh. Is that Jesus talking? Sound like Jesus talking, don't it? His law is within his heart. But also talks about someone else. Part of the new covenant. I will write my law in their hearts.
Yeah.
I will take away their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Who are we talking about? Who's going to be within us and teach us all things?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. That's a part of the new covenant, right? That's prophetic. There's coming a time when God says, no one will have to teach them anything. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they will all know me. Mm-hmm. Right? How are we going to know him if no one's going to teach us? Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's going to teach us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's look at this. Burnt offerings and sin offerings are external displays which may or may not reflect what was in the heart and mind. Right? You can offer a sin offering, a burnt offering. You can take an animal and say, okay, here it is.
Yeah.
But you might not be wanting to. It might not reflect what you're thinking. Sometimes people can do things that doesn't reflect what they're thinking, can't they? I can follow this law, but I don't really want to. You know, I can stop at this stop sign, but I don't really, I'm in a hurry. I really want to just go on. I'm going to do it anyway because a lot will get caught. That's not in the heart, right? That's out of fear, right? Okay. What does an open ear do? An open ear indicates a willingness to learn, right? And obey. A true desire to do God's will. An open ear.
Yeah.
Willing to listen. Willing to learn.
Yeah.
Willing to leave this old glory and go to a new glory. Mm-hmm. Right? You've got to have that willingness. Right? The disciples needed to be taught to have that willingness. Leave the old glory and move on to the new covenant.
Yeah.
Right? Leave the old covenant, which was one glory, and go on to the new covenant.
Yeah.
A new glory. We see this in our individual lives, don't we? Uh-huh. Right? We learn something. We walk in that truth. It's great. It's glorious. And then at some point, it doesn't seem to work anymore. Sometimes it's just not working like it was. Mm-hmm. And God is calling us on up to another glory. Yeah? Yeah? And if we listen, if we have an ear and we listen to him, uh-huh. Right?
Yep.
We'll take what we've been basking in and working in and it worked for us. It was wonderful. It was a glory.
Yeah.
But we'll leave that and go up to another glory.
Yeah.
That God is showing us. Uh-huh. Oh, this is even better. A little different, a little strange. But after you get into it, you know, this is actually better than it was, you know? My life is better now than it was.
Yeah.
Right?
That's being meek, isn't it?
Come on, because come on.
One of the definitions of meekness is being trainable. You're surrendering your will to his, and you're trainable, and you can walk in that in the glory.
Right. Amen.
Kind of like when parents buy their kids clothes just a year bigger. They know they're going to grow.
Right.
So he gives us responsibility that at first seemed far too big for us, but he expects and knows that we're going to grow. Into
ooh.
It.
Yeah.
Ooh, y'all hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It's far too big for where we are now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We grow into it. Mm-hmm.
I used to have to help Shayla and Thurston walk. They got to a point they could walk. I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they walk.
Yeah.
Run and they do what they try.
Okay, go back to walking, guys.
And parents don't smack their kids every time they fall down. But people do.
Yeah.
You know. I saw this beautiful verse. It's in 39. It says, may your frown over my failure become a smile over my success.
Ooh. Amen. Amen. God you know, we change, right? We grow. And God rejoices over that growth, right? Mm-hmm. He rejoices over that growth. He rejoices to see new fruit on the branch, so to speak. He wants us to grow. I say my purpose is to learn and grow in relationship, in harmony with God, through the Spirit of Jesus. That's my purpose. Mm-hmm. If that's my purpose, and I fulfill my purpose, God is pleased with me. Mm-hmm. Right? My purpose is not to be perfect like God. Mm-hmm. It's to grow and learn toward God.
Yeah.
Right? I'm never going to be like God. I'm never going to do everything right the first time, every time. Mm-hmm. Never. Because he's just way, way above me. But he'd love to see you grow. He'd love to see you grow. Right?
You can operate perfect in the glory that you receive. Yeah. You can do a perfect work.
Yeah.
One stage at a time.
Okay, let's see. One last thing here, and I'm going to finish up with this. It says, we talk about various things, burnt offerings and sin offerings, right? Well, we have some things that we do. Their traditions. Baptism, right? In 1 Peter 3:21, it says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal and a question, a craving, a desire to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in the same way that sacrifices and offerings couldn't do anything for you unless you also had a heart change. Right, unless you were doing it with the right heart, you know. Baptism the same way. You can get baptized and have the right heart.
Yeah.
You know, I can throw you in the lake. you get baptized, you get immersed in the water, you know, there's no change, heart change. But we're talking about a heart change, right? We're talking about appeal to God for a clean conscience, he says. So that's the removal of the sin and guilt that goes with it. Is that appeal for a clean conscience? A clean conscience is a conscience that's free of guilt, right? Free of sin. Your conscience bothers you when you do wrong, right? But, you know, you've got a clean conscience. Okay. And Paul says, I have a clear conscience toward all you. You know, he's writing a letter toward all you because I did what God wanted me to do with you. So I have a clear conscience. I don't feel any guilt, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you one of the little previews again. This is Job. I think I've mentioned this before sometime, but it does it good to get again. In Job 19, Job is talking. And he says, oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. That's Job 19:23 through 27. We'll talk about that and just how that is a prophecy of Jesus.
Yeah.
Of course, we know it is. You've got that as soon as I said, I know my Redeemer lives, right? But we'll talk about that next time, okay? Father, we thank you so much for loving us. You are an extravagantly generous Heavenly Father. You are not frugal. You are not stingy. You are generous. Way generous toward your children. And we are children of God. We thank you for that, Father. Father, be with us in all things today. Take us from glory to glory, Father. Let us embrace the learning and growing process. Bless the food that we have. Bless our fellowship together. Be with all who couldn't be with us today. Amen. All right.
I wanted to read that same scripture, but in the Passion Translation, because it opens it up so much more. Oh, Lord.